This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Jeff Sandhu, together with
Audrey Raj,
Arvini Baraj.
And on today's show, we are asking you, have video games in any way affected your behavior? Thank you so much for all the messages on WhatsApp, Instagram and Twitter. I'll move on to WhatsApp. Imran says, I played Grand Theft Auto 5 and I actually did feel at some points my driving felt very impatient and a little bit aggressive. Mm-hmm. However, I did play Battlefield 5 and Call of Duty games, and at no point I feel like going out there and, you know, doing things that you would do in those games. So he guesses he's at 50-50. That's what he's saying. And then we've got Sai Yao Yong says, gaming is one of the best ways for me to relax and have a good time. It doesn't really matter the genre, shooting to city builders. It's a form of release that is relatively cheap and effective. So, you know, that's, you know, I guess it's a good way of escaping your, you know, your reality world.
Your
right?
daily life.
Your daily life. Mm. Chia Tian Yuan has an interesting take, a slightly different one. I don't know the correlation between this, but he believes there would be more Bollywood movies than video games at the moment. I don't know. Yeah. Mm. Is there more Bollywood movies than video games at the moment?
I don't know.
No, that's interesting though.
What's
now there's a triangle.
Let's move on to Insta Story.
Right, there's one here from the Real Real Madrid that says, reinforce the notion of you win some, you lose some. Yeah, like in real life as well, right? Mm. And a very familiar Richard Bradbury has chimed in all the way from LA, and he says, yes, it's given me the third space that I've needed sometimes and helped to encourage teamwork. Mm. Could he be talking about us?
Probably.
Oh, maybe.
Probably.
Maybe.
Palau Ganesh on WhatsApp says, playing racing sims or games that cultivated a love of cars, the downside, obsession of cars, and that's not a cheap obsession to have.
It's not a bad obsession to have.
It's not a bad obsession, but I guess, you know, bad for his wallet, and if he's married, the wife may make noise or the family may make noise and stuff, but, you know, the saying goes, you'd rather cry in a Ferrari than on a bicycle, right?
Ooh. Yep. It's true.
So,
wait till you're crying, girl.
Let's move on to our second story because I'm excited for this weekend.
Yes. So a new Premier League season kicks off this weekend, and with it, the debut of VAR in the Premiership. This is a big deal, guys. I mean, it was in the news at 12 too, right? So for football fans out there, VAR or video assistant referee, it's not something new. We've seen it in the World Cup, the Women's World Cup and European Championship, but it's going to be used slightly differently in the Premier League. Now, I can explain how, but there's someone else who can do it better. Here's former Newcastle and England striker Alan Shearer.
VAR is in the Premier League this season and it will help our referees get more decisions correct. Let's be clear, we won't see 100% accuracy. Some decisions will be subjective and not everyone will agree, but the VAR will be checking every key decision. There are four match-changing decisions a VAR can be used for. My favourite, goals. The VAR will check every goal that is scored. If the VAR spots something, then they will tell the referee not to restart play. This could be an offside or a foul in the build-up. Penalties. Either penalties that have been awarded or penalties that have not. Red cards. Direct red cards, not second yellows. The VAR can tell the referee if they have missed a clear red card and also let the ref know if they have incorrectly given a red. Mistaken identity. The VAR can tell the referee if they have booked or sent off the wrong player. The Premier League is setting a high bar for VAR involvement. The philosophy is minimum interference, maximum benefit. Keeping the pace and passion we all know and love.
Thank you, Alan.
That's a really great promo for something as controversial as the VAR.
Exactly. And, you know, Anfield will be the first stadium in England to use VAR in a top flight fixture when the Premiership kicks off with Liverpool versus Norwich early tomorrow morning. Announcements will be made over the PA system at the stadium and also on electronic boards inside Anfield, while fans on TV will get to see the same exact message via the host broadcaster. At stadiums where there are big screens, some VAR reviews will be shown in real time to keep fans inside the stadium updated, but Anfield doesn't have such facilities yet, and so the PA system and written messages on the scoreboards are being used instead.
Right.
Now, a common misperception some fans have is that every stadium will have a VAR. right? People think that there's someone sitting up there, you know, at the stadium itself. It's not the case. The VAR itself is actually located in West London in a separate premise altogether. Ah. And they will make clear to match controllers at Anfield what is being decided as and when VAR decisions are made. Now, there is one VAR who's actually watching multiple angles of the match on multiple screens. And then this VAR has an assistant VAR and another assistant VAR just for offside calls. Now, if you're a football fan, you'll know that correctly calling an offside decision is one of the hardest decisions in the sport. VAR will make this much easier. And if in fact, like, you know, match officials, like linesmen, they are being urged to keep their flags down, even if they suspect it's an offside, because they can get it wrong. And if they get it wrong, it will be overturned by VAR. You know, so now they've got a bit of a safety net right now. Here's a warning, though. VAR could lead to more goals being scored and then subsequently being ruled out. In European League, there's been an overall drop in the number of offsides per games thanks to VAR, and we're talking about a 15% decrease. So that's much greater accuracy. Mm. There's also been a noticeable increase in decisions for the underdog. So referees are often accused of siding with the bigger matches. I think many Man United fans will tell you how everybody says the referees are always on their side. So could VAR help level the playing field? Well, VAR has already been used in top divisions in Spain, France, Germany and Italy, and they've seen that the number of penalties awarded to underdog teams playing away from home is increased by 35%.
Wow.
So it could be good news for underdogs as well. So a lot of controversy, but analysts are saying that there's not going to be much consequences, because a lot of people who enjoy the English Premier League, we enjoy the fast pace of the game. In fact, that it just keeps moving and it's so fluid, right? And that's what we enjoy about the Premiership. But, you know, is there going to be like a stop and go because of VAR? Well, analysts say it's not going to be the case, because the technology is likely to generate a lot of talking points, but it's not going to, well, change the outcome or the way the game feels as a whole. And I guess we will only begin to realize that and, you know, put our fears aside as the first batch of matches kick off this weekend.
I actually think that, you know, so VAR is still very new, and, you know, at times when we have seen games that have VAR, it feels like you're just suddenly on a pause for sometimes for like minutes, like 2-3 minutes in a highly competitive game that was, you know, running at full speed, and for some reason, you know, the referee, you know, blows his whistle, and then he points it to VAR, and it takes 3 minutes of everyone just left in confused and not sure what to do. But that's like, I guess, the first stage. I can only see this later on, you know, maybe next season, where you would have commentators having the same kind of visuals that VAR is going through, and, you know, they could then just sort of have that conversations and make it seem like you are also in part of it, and then you'll have people, you know, tweeting in and, you know, calling in or like discussing about it. It will have that kind of factor where it keeps your momentum going, not necessarily the game speed. It may be affected in terms of, you know, if you're running up and down the football pitch and all of a sudden the referee blows his whistle and you're 3 minutes, you're standing there, it will disrupt the flow of the players itself.
You know, in the Women's World Cup, I think when England beat Cameroon, there was 18 minutes added to the match because of VAR. But, you know, let's hope it doesn't come to something like that, because from what I understand is, you know, if the ball is still in play, nothing will be halted. Only when the ball is dead, like, you know, it goes out for a throw-in or for a goal kick, only then will, you know, VAR decisions come to light.
So why wasn't this done before this? Like, what is the problems with VAR? And I'm asking from someone who doesn't watch football, and you guys are into football. You guys are, like, huge football fans. Why wasn't VAR implemented maybe, like, 3 years ago, 5 years ago?
So one is the tech itself, right? So having, you know, a bunch of new referees to sit into, you know, a VAR studio that's not in the stadium itself, because it's very costly to have a room that's dedicated for all the technology to be in place where they can then, you know, do it on the go. So it has to be centralized. When if you centralize it, it's costly in terms of the tech itself to be able to do it on, you know, simultaneously with a game that's happening. Maybe, you know, for example, if you just take into you know, the VAR studios here in KL, and then you're watching and officiating a match that's happening in Penang, and you can't have any second of delay, because the, you know, it's really quick, right? So if a referee blows for a goal, you have to be able to like analyze within seconds to say, yes, that was a legitimate goal, or you have to call for a foul. Because if they start the game, you can't rewind back and you know, go back to
it. It spoils the flow. Right?
Yeah. I also think it comes down to the just traditionally the way football is played. You know, there's no electronic interference of any sort. It all comes down to the referee and the linesman. If they miss it, they miss it. That's just the way the ball...
It's football.
That's football for you, you know?
So that's my second question that I wanted to ask. Like, does this ruin the drama of football? Because coming, I watch wrestling, and some of the best matches is when the referee doesn't know what they're doing. So, like, they fall down, or they, you know, they call for the wrong person, they disqualify someone else, and that's when you get, like, the fans, like, you know, like, roaring and, you know, rioting and stuff.
But Arv, wrestling is all... an act, right?
Really? Oh my god. No, but even then, so it's scripted into the
and the referee has no idea.
Even the matches that I've watched, even the few football matches that I've watched, the most drama comes out when the referee makes a wrong call or they double yellow card or they red card someone. Will this like remove that drama from football?
So here's the thing. It's not about so much the drama, but there's just too much at stake when it comes to football today. Football is a multi-billion pound or dollar sport today. And, you know, like, look what happened, I think, in the Champions League semi-finals in April. VAR ruled out a last-gasp goal from Raheem Sterling that would have put Manchester City through to the finals, but Tottenham progressed instead. And it all came down to that final call, thanks to... technology.
It is one of the oldest sports to adopt technology, but we've seen, you know, in many other sports it has actually embraced the fans to be part of the sports. F1, for example, I'm a fan of F1 this year simply because last year when I went to a conference and AWS mentioned that, you know, they're partnering up with F1 this season to give you all the analytics of the cars and, you know, the chances of overtaking and all that, the, you know, stats that you would normally as a team manager you would only get it. Now on my TV screen, I'm getting that same information. It has made me more engaged with the sport. So maybe you'll do the same for football as well. Anyways, you know, probably with the game FIFA 20 will probably change as well because of VR. And speaking of football games, we're asking you, have video games in any way affected your behavior? Have you become a pro footballer thanks to FIFA? Let us know at BFM Radio on Twitter and Instagram, 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp. We'll be right back. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.